Welcome to Open Wide Say with myself, Leka Lawless. This is the Sex Podcast, the Sex Talk, where we talk all things sex positive, all things kink, all things fun. So today I am joined by a poet, a sex guru, a sex educator, a business owner, a published writer and composer of They Called Me Queer, an activist, and my horny friend, Kim Van Vogel, aka Blazing Non-Binary. Welcome, bitch.
Yes! I love how you called me a horny friend. That's like the only introduction that I care about out of all the other stuff that you mentioned.
But you are that friend. Like, when it comes to like in a group circle of, you know, like all the brasa and everyone, I feel like you and I, we get like the most sex questions. And we are always the ones making the conversation around sex.
Yeah, because it's so much fun. And it's just like, even if you're not feeling horny, it's also just sometimes fun to see people's faces change. And sometimes it's like either they're very excited, they're like, they zone in on you and they're like, this is the person that I'm going to ask all my questions to. Or they're like, I'm going to go sit on the other side of the table. So it's like never anything in between. It's either they love you or they hate you. And I like that.
You have always been someone that starts this type of conversation and makes the safe space to talk about sex. So I want to know from you, why is safe space, especially around sex, like such a big thing to you? It's on your Instagram. It's on all the work that you do. It's all around centering like a safe space to be sex positive.
Well, I think for me, it's important because when I was younger, I mean, I have an older sibling, so, I mean, we could speak about things, but in general, whenever I would raise it with people, they get uncomfortable and they don't really like know how to navigate questions, especially when it comes to questions about pleasure or just understanding like what feels nice. You ask someone, oh, what feels nice in sex, and they can't even answer you. And I was like, I don't want to be that person. Like when someone asks me a question, I don't know anything, or I act like I don't know anything, like knowing that I have the experience. And I'm not a shy person either. Like I am someone who loves to speak about personal narratives. And because sex forms such a big part of my life, I'm just like, if I have an experience and someone asks a question about something, then why the fuck am I not like speaking about it? And I also just want to say, like, when it comes to safe spaces, I think it's very hard to kind of like pin down and say that you create a safe space. But I do enjoy, I don't know where I read it, but since I read it, I've changed my language. I believe that I can create a safer space for people and not necessarily a safe space, because I am not immune to triggering someone, even if it's unintentional. But I do know that the spaces that I do create, whether it's online or offline, should be safer for people to kind of navigate space when it comes to talking about sex and their bodies and whatever.
We're talking about safer spaces. I didn't ask you, what are your pronouns that you use and how do you identify as Kim?
Okay, so I my pronouns is she and they. I do enjoy when people fuck around with it, because I find like when I tell people that my pronouns are she and they default to she, and they never like, you know, get out of their comfort zones and just gender pronoun fuck me. You know, you can gender fuck someone or you can be a gender fuck, but you can also like enjoy when people, and I say gender pronoun fuck you. So like, you know, refer to me in multiple pronouns, and that's the fun part of it, because then people are like, well, who is that? Why are you saying they, she, he, z? And then people are like, who is this person? So I enjoy just like a fuck around so that we can really just distort and tip gender on its fucking head, or, you know, the games of pronouns in the English language. And how do I identify? Well, I'm a non-binary person initially in terms of my gender. Initially, it started off in 2016 as like only my gender. But I realized that in South Africa, you know, I'm seen as a colored person. I'm like, there's so many identities and things and like ideologies in life that is not fixed to a binary. So that's why I kind of enjoy calling myself, you know, Blazing Non-Binary or a non-binary person, is that nothing is binary. And everything has a spectrum. So for me, it's not just linked to gender, but it's linked to each and every part of my identity. It's very similar to the word queer for me, like identifying with the identity of being queer. It's like there's a spectrum of queerness, whether it's your gender, your sexuality, your sex characteristics, whatever it may be. So yeah, I'm a non-binary person in all the ways.
Yay. I love that. I love being like fully under the umbrella. I find that for myself as well. Like when someone asks me about my sexuality, it's easier for me to just say queer than to explain what my preference is at the moment and it might be changing and how to explain pansexual. I just go like, I'm queer, I'm everything, it's everything.
Yeah, like I do what the fuck I want to, because otherwise if I don't, I just label myself as something now and then I start dating a man and then there's all of this like internalized biphobia or panphobia even in the queer community and everyone's like, oh yeah, Kim is a traitor, Kim has gone back to men with penises. And then I'm just like, what? Like why? What is happening? So for me, it's easy to be like, I do what I want.
And also for everyone to remember that your queerness and your identity is not attached to the person that you're dating or sleeping with, whoever you're sleeping with.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's fluid. It changes. You also use the word safer, which is something that, you know, Kim and I run an organization called Femme Projects. And when we used to do workshops, one of our last workshops about teaching comprehensive sexual education and sexual, like reproductive health and rights, we had a workshop on safer sex practice. And can you tell us a little bit about like what safer sex practice actually is and what that looks like when you're trying to educate?
Yeah. So I think when people, we always get stuck on the term safe sex. And I remember speaking to someone who works at the organization in Cape Town called Triangle. And I remember telling her, her name is Carol Lennon. Carolyn. Hi, Carol. an amazing like healthcare worker. Anyway, I said to her, yeah, we're doing this workshop. And I think I was actually talking to her about this workshop that we were going to do or that we did last year, Lola. And I said to her, yeah, we're going to do one on safe sex practices. And, you know, we need to, you know, get different types of condoms so we can teach the kids what external, internal, all of these things are, condoms are. And we were going to get it through the organization. And we had a nice sit down and Carol was just like, oh, it's not, you know, safe sex because no sex is safe, regardless of what you use. It's a safer sex practice. And then I was like, oh, shit, that links to the whole idea of safer spaces. Nothing is safe and nothing is necessarily dangerous. You can make something better, but you can't make something, you know, like 100% safe. So the term of like safer sex practices is basically how do we think about sex and how do we create a safer way to have sex when we are engaging with our bodies with people, right? The obvious thing that we think about is like using an external condom because people think, you know, sex is about having the P&V, you know, penis and vagina. And that is in many ways still what people think when they speak about safe or safer sex practices. They think, oh, we just use an external condom. But there are so many other ways of practicing safer sex. And it starts off with understanding that this person wants it. You know, like safer sex practices is not just about the action and protecting yourself of the action and what the consequences of the sex. It's about, hey, Lauren, I like you. Do you wanna like, you know, can we make out or can we do this? This is the journey of safer sex. Even if the relationship doesn't end up with sex, it's just creating a space for the people, however many people are involved, so that they can feel safer in the space and that the person actually cares about what you think and whether you want this or not. And they're creating a space for you to say no or yes, or let's talk about it. You know what I mean? Safer sex practices is just creating the safer space and then also just ensuring that everyone is kept safer during the act of sex, whether that is using a condom, whether that's using any form of other contraceptives. I think the people within the relationship also defines that.
And also consent is like the sexiest part and the first step of creating safer spaces and safer sex, because you're firstly getting permission and asking what someone wants and everyone's getting a heads up. So you're not surprised by something that happens in the middle of an act.
Exactly.
Also, like I get really turned on when someone says like, can I kiss you or can I go down on you? I'm like, yes.
I remember the first time this happened to me, I was like 22 and I was outside my sister's house and there was this guy and we had been vibing the whole night and he sat next to me and he was so close to me and I was like, oh, I just want this guy to like, you know, touch me somewhere because dang, he's got good energy. You know, he's got that big D, big demeanor. energy. So he was like, I remember he sat so close next to me, and then like an hour after we were talking, he's like, can I put my arm around you? And my whole body just like ignited. It felt like I was like an angel just being, you know, Ascension Day. And since that time, I'm just like, yeah, whenever someone asks me to touch me, I'm just like, yes.
Yes, do it and do more.
Feels good. Yeah.
Okay, so we spoke a little bit about safer sex practices and condoms and contraceptives. And I think that's like the norm and kind of what we hear more about. But you have started this Instagram TV channel platform called Sunday Sex Service, which I am loving and look forward to it every single Sunday. And I'm so proud of you for putting it in video format, because we've been talking about this forever, like forever. And the one episode that you spoke about is like using dental dam and safer sex practice. You know, you had your one about like external condoms and how to like roll it down. And there was the one about dental dam. I just want to know, like, for our listeners, because I know you for a long time, where did Sunday Sex Service like come from? What can people expect? Because it's already covered like the range of fisting, squirting, wax play, safer sex practice, STIs. I'm like, bish, you're doing it all.
So the idea for Sunday Sex Service came about when I was literally sitting at this very table that I'm sitting at in my house. And, you know, as you say, we've been talking for so long about like the stuff that we know. And like you sit on so much knowledge sometimes thinking that everyone else knows it just because you know it, you know. And it's like one of the age old lies that you think, you know, in your mind. But I just sat down and I was like, I saw a dildo that I haven't used. And I thought that was just sitting there, you know, my house is Yamakar. So I saw this dildo there and I was like, I haven't used this thing. And I remember that I had a pack of condoms somewhere. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to show people how to use an external condom, because that's what we do in the workshops, right? I'm going to do it because it's open source. So if people use IGTV, if they have internet, if they have access, they can use it. So I made the video. And then it was like a really good reception. I was like, okay. So it's Sunday Sex Service now, and I'm going to do all my knowledge that I have. I'm going to put it together in Instagram, and everyone can just come here. And if they want to support it in a monetary way, they can do so. If not, it's still there for everybody to access.
I love it. I think your audience and everyone that's watching, like your engagement is fast and high, which shows you that there's a need for it. And like when I saw it, I was like, this is the content we've been waiting for, because you and I, we do these things at schools. And when we talk about it to adults, they go like, oh, I also want to know. And we're like, aren't you supposed to know? But people don't know because no one talks about it. Exactly. So your stuff is very relatable and also like from a young, fun perspective, which I'm loving. Your last episode, which was the wax play, which was one of my favorite episodes because I could relate so hard, and I haven't seen any of like the content around kink play and pain play online. It's quite like traditional about like what kink looks like. And I remember one of the first times you told me about that you had experienced wax play was at a kink party.
A sex party.
And I was like, oh my gosh, tell me more about the party. And in the same weekend, like before, the night before, I had tried wax play, and I told you it went down like really badly. And so like, I was just like waiting for you to discuss and teach. So for our people that haven't, you know, watched the video, please give us some of the tips, the must knows about wax play and like more pain play.
Okay, so everything that I do on Sunday Sex Service is something that I've had experience in, other than the STI video. Not that there's any shame in having STI videos, but that was more like an educational thing. And actually the one that had the least engagement, you know, people don't want to hear about potential consequences. But so when it comes to wax play, as you said, my first experience was at the sex party in Cape Town. It was a very intimate sex party. And also, just to tell the listeners, that a sex party doesn't mean that we all just get together and fuck, okay? It's not how it works. The one that I went to was so chilled. Like, we went, most of the time we just chatted and watched other people do stuff. And then they're like, oh, can I test this on you? Because just a reminder, a lot of people who go to sex parties also haven't really tested things. This is one of those safer spaces that's being created so that people can come and test things out on each other. Like, we can test out, you know, wax play. We can test out different types of sensation play. So that's just a little bit of a background. It's not always just like all of these people who just want to fuck, okay? It's not really how it works. Sometimes you sit and have some food in the corner and watch people. So, you know, it's cool. Be a voyeur. But yeah, in terms of wax play and what it is essentially the melting of candle wax and then the pouring or dripping of it on someone's body. And it can be on any point, any place on their body where they want to feel it. And I mean, you can explore around the body and find the places where you like it or where your partner or partners enjoy being dripped on. So what you do is you will light your candle, and while your candles are busy melting, you will rub your partner or your own, if you're into your own wax play, body and place where they want to be poured on. You'll rub it with some oil. And the oil basically just creates a barrier between the wax and your skin. And this just protects the skin. And then also afterwards, once you're done dripping on that area, you can just eat more easily. It's not actually easier, but it's more easily push off the wax so that it's not as stuck to the body. And what this then creates is a sensation. It's a sensation of, huh, I've got this candle on me and there's a slight little ring in my body and there's this different types of feelings that go through the body, and it's very pleasurable. You know, the first thing people tell me when I tell them I enjoy wax play is that, isn't that painful? And I'm like, yeah, but that's kind of the point. And it's not painful to the point of non-consenting pain. It's not like you're stubbing your fucking toe against a table, this corner of a table. It's you're wanting this. You're wanting to feel a type of pleasure that is not penetrative or that is not so focused on genitals. Like, pleasure is, again, a spectrum of different experiences that people can do to your body or that you can do to your own body.
I think pain play is also in a whole spectrum, and kink is also like a whole spectrum. So wax play falls, you know, into pain play and falls into kink, and into BDSM. I also like watching your video, a lot of things kind of made sense to me about my first experience of wax play, like that different candles emit different heat. And some, if wax is like a color candle, might be a, you know, a harder burn. And that made like so much sense. My first time was traumatic. And then I had to get back into wax play by playing with myself and in the bath. So because I was wet, the candle wax on me, like, it created like a really nice pattern and like floating pattern. And then it came off so easily, and it wasn't like the adrenaline that you get from the first burn, like the, oh, yes, I like that. For me, it's so worth it. But it's completely different to like the pain of a spank or the pain of a choke or the pain of scratching, you know?
Yes. And it's so important. I think just to add to that point, it's so important to know that different candles burn at different rates. Like, some people will start off with a heavily dyed candle thinking, ooh, I want some black on my back. And the next thing, they never want to do wax play again because they're like, it was so intense. But yes, do research, Google that shit, figure out what candle is going to work for you and what material candle you should buy, especially as you start off.
Okay, I'm loving Sunday Sex Service and wherever it's going. I know that it's going to touch like every aspect of sex that I can think of. So like, we should do some collaborations on it. But yes. Anyway, but I don't want to like run out of time, and there's a million questions that I always want to ask my friend. And I just want to look at, they called me queer, which is a book that you co-composed and compiled, and your like chapter, if that's what it's called, To Poly or Not To Poly. I love firstly the title, and it immediately, I was like, these are things that people are not also talking about. So firstly, are you still in a poly relationship?
I feel like the question of polyamory follows you wherever you go, or any form of sexual expression of your sexual orientation, if it's not monogamy, will follow you around. That question will follow you around for the rest of your life, really, because monogamy is everywhere, right? And I'm not looking down on monogamy. I've been in beautiful monogamous relationships. So I'm not like saying, oh, monogamy is bad, polyamory is good. You know, I'm not an unevolved atheist. But I just feel that, like, for me, I'm a polyamorous person. I am. But whenever I'm in relationships with people who have not really experienced polyamory before, but they're trying, there's always this little like push and pull where we have to like figure each other out. So yes, I definitely am still polyamorous, and I will probably be polyamorous for a very long time, if not forever. But I think it is... polyamory is hard to navigate in a world that conditions everyone to want to find that one person. It's hard, but it's worth it for me because I feel like I can express myself more openly with polyamory, because polyamory forces you to communicate and to communicate openly and transparently and to face yourself and the internalized ideas that you have about relationships. And that's what I like about polyamory. It keeps me honest with my partners, and it keeps me honest with myself.
I was in a, I would say, so-called monogamous relationship because, like, I asked for it to be open and it wasn't. So I just, like, cheated. And, like, now in, like, claiming my polyness and, like, going, like, I actively am polyamorous. So... you know, polyamory forces you to be honest and to communicate. And I think I've been taught, I think like we've all been taught this way of like snaking and snake behavior of, you know, like little side chats and little flirtations. And you kind of make yourself open to other people and other relationships, even if it's not like sexual or physical. And to have to communicate that to somebody seems so like new and seems like, but now you know too much. So how do you, what are some of the things that you like practice to make sure that you've communicated the things that you need to say, that the other person is, you know, seen and respected and feels like they're part of it?
Yeah. So I think firstly, before I answer this, just know that I am no expert on polyamory. I fuck up all the time, you know, and anyone who tells you that they are perfect at polyamory, they're lying. And anyone who tells you they're perfect at monogamy, they're lying, or polygamy, or whatever it may be. Relationships are fucking hard, regardless of how you express it, right? So for me with polyamory, how I make sure that I'm on board is really like, if I feel like I need to tell you something, if I'm chatting to someone and I'm feeling that there's a vibe, you know when there's a vibe. You know when, you know, it could potentially lead to something. I will tell the person, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm chatting to this person. They're really cute, you know. And then I'll see how my person responds to it, you know, because also there are different levels of polyamory. You know, you've got people who believe in hierarchical polyamory. So you've got a primary partner and that is like your main stuck, you know, it's like that is your person and that is a person that you're accountable to. Then they have a secondary and a tertiary, and so you have a different like hierarchy within your relationships. Then there are people who believe like, fuck it, I'm an anarchist polyamorist, and that basically means there are no rules. I date who I want to date, like you don't own me, you know. So there are different levels of polyamory. So if you're interested in knowing more about that, there's a lot of literature online that you can go and, you know, read about, so you can find, you know, the expression that works for you. But I think for me, what's very important is just to be, I know it sounds so cliche, but just be honest. If I like someone, I'm going to tell you. If I meet someone and I like that person and I know that I have a primary and I can't be, you know, promising something to this new person, I have to tell them I have a primary and this is my primary. So know that this is the person that, you know, is my partner. We are open. We are, you know, X, Y, and Z. She knows about you, or they know about you, or he knows about you, whoever they may be. But, you know, you should also know that there are levels here. So like there are different ways of being honest, and it depends on your polyamory. Again, it depends on, are you a single polyamorist? Like, are you single and still poly? Like, or your engagement and who you are relates to how like honest you have to be with people. So for me, it's just like, I'm just honest. And many times it's gotten me in trouble. My partners are like, I don't want to know about your other partner, You know, I don't want to know what's happening in their life. And this is my recent issue. Well, not issue, my recent challenge in my relationships that I have. I have two going right now. Is that I, as Kim, enjoy telling my other partner about something, you know, good that happened. Nothing, it doesn't have to be anything sexual. It doesn't have to be anything inappropriate that might hurt the other person's feelings, because contrary to popular belief, people who are polyamorous also have feelings. And we also don't want to, you know, constantly be talking about other people, but, or other partners. But I enjoy, you know, being like, oh, this partner told me this. Isn't that a funny story? You know what I mean? Or blah, 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 blah. But I find that the people that I'm dating now don't actually enjoy that type of communication, right? Now, for me, I want that from my partners. I want them to tell me a funny story. If something I say triggers something in their mind that another partner told them and it would add to our conversation, where's the fucking harm? That just means that I'll like your other partner as well. So tell me about what's happening in your mind so that you don't feel like you have to save my feelings from anything. Because there's something in polyamory that some people experience, and it's called compersion. And what compersion is basically, let's say, Lola, you and I are dating, and you come home to me and you tell me, I met this person and they make me very happy. And then you explain to me, you know, what happened on your date. Now, what would happen to me is compersion. Then I would start to feel happy because I see you be happy because someone else is making you happy. I'm not feeling like that relationship is taking away from our relationship. Like, our relationship is solid. Like, I'm enjoying listening to you telling me about your experience with another partner. And that's called compersion. And for me, in my ideal world, my partners would be like that too. It'd be like, you know, we can give each other compersion hard-ons.
Yeah. And I think you can just like talk to each other and bounce off each other like a real conversation. It doesn't feel like you're hiding something to protect the other person's feelings, and also to like avoid jealousy. And I think there's maybe a misconception that like if you're poly, you're never jealous. I do find that like jealousy creeps up in different ways and different forms. And I can either be toxic and be like, cool, now I'm going to play a game for a couple of days and get you back. Or I'm also going to do that and see how you respond. Or I can just be honest and go like, you know, that kind of touched the nerve. I think I feel a bit jealous about this and see how we work with it. I'm also someone that like, I speak my big for bay. Like, I talk about everything. And then if you are getting touched, you have to tell me because I'm excited. And then I'm like, oh my word, so and so said this when we were walking on the beach. And like, you know, it was such a cute flirt. And then it's like, oh, I didn't know I, you know.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so I think you touched on an important point there, is that even though I would enjoy them communicating that with me, I have had to call myself out and in many times being like, just because I would want that from them in terms of how they speak with me, I need to listen to their boundaries, right? So that's, yeah, I just want to add to what I was saying before. So even though I enjoy, you know, this process of compersion or this process of like hearing my partner be happy because they have someone else, I need to realize that other people have boundaries. My boundaries look different to my partner's, and I need to respect that. So, yeah, as much as, you know, that's something that I crave, it's also something that I understand. Not everyone wants it, and that is totally cool. And you need to, like, strike a balance with each other, and that's how communication is so important.
I think it's the same basics for any type of relationship.
Yeah.
Like, communicate and be honest and say what you need and say what you don't need and say what you don't like. You are somebody that is, like, extremely sex positive and body positive and queer positive, and you're just someone that I like love to bounce things off of. And I've like recently started therapy, and I feel like, oh, these are the things I used to talk about with Kim and Kelly already, you know, just filling your mind with things that we're not always seeing. Like, we're always seeing monogamy, and I don't have much reference for like positive queer representation and sex representation, body representation and polyamory representation in like media and in shows that we watch. So I find it important to have people like you. But I wanted to know, what is it like to be this type of vocal person in a workspace and in like a professional setting, someone that is like, you know, like your sex work positive as well, and what that looks like when someone sees your social media and now they want to hire you, or they're working with you and they're constantly looking at this type of stuff that you're putting out. Have you had any type of, because I have you had any type of backlash from that?
Oh my God. Yeah. You're bringing up so much shit. Yeah. Let me tell you. My last job that I had, like 9 to 5 job, was this NGO, massive queer organization. And they, hired me knowing who I was. Like, I've got this online platform and I believe in, sex work. I'm body sex positive, whatever it may be. Basically, I'm just that gal, So they employed me and I had a really good couple of months. So to my surprise, one day this was during lockdown. I received an email and they were like, "This is confidential and you can't speak to anyone about it." So this basically already starts off on a weird footing, right? And they detail this whole thing about how I am bringing this organization into disrepute. And it was like such a weird experience for me because, the NGO space, especially organizations who claim to be so feminist, if you're a feminist organization, bodily autonomy, sex positivity, the belief that sex work is work, basically the basic foundation and principles and ideologies of feminism should be wrapped into its policies. Otherwise, I might as well just go work in fucking e-commerce. I might as well just work at massive brands and exploit people, So it was a very big surprise for me to receive, this type of communication from an organization that should be protecting me and not the person who, according to them, complained about my social media presence as now, a senior management person within this organization. So I took them on about it and I was like, "You're literally an organization who's a part of sex work coalitions in South Africa. You're pushing for policy change. And the fact that you're coming for me as someone who is trying to assist in leading this organization is a bitchy off." I don't understand. Like it felt very persoonlijk. It felt very personal. I didn't understand what's happening. Anyway, I eventually left. So for me, I think it's hard to navigate because even if you work in feminist organizations, other than Femme Projects, obviously, who's a feminist organization and it's our organizations and we're lit and we would never shame each other or any staff that we have, I feel that a lot of the NGOs, especially older NGOs in this country, they struggle with putting certain politics like bodily autonomy and sex positivity into practice for the people within their walls. Because it's easy for them to be like, "Sex work is work, and we need to protect the sex workers, and we need to protect, people on the outside of the organization, our key population." But then it comes to your staff, the people who are being paid by the funders, the people who should be listening to like your commands or whatever as the director or as the board or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're pushed into a corner as a staff member, and then you're like, "But this is hypocritical." So I started to ask, this I was like, "This is hypocritical. How does this? I don't understand." So I think there's a big discussion that should be happening about what happens behind closed doors in organizations in South Africa. So not to dissolve them, because we all can learn, but for us all to learn from each other and to understand that staff should be afforded the same advocacy that we advocate for other people outside of our organization. They should have the same protections and the same rights, and their jobs shouldn't feel threatened by the fact that they take feminist pride in their body. Because I can post a nude, that's my business. You don't get to make me feel like my job is threatened because of that. So I think it's a bigger discussion that should be happening. And when I started talking about it after I left that space, a lot of people reached out to me privately and said, "This happened to me too. I also work in an NGO and I didn't know how to, navigate that space either." So it's a problem. I don't only think it's an African problem. I think it's a global thing. I think people are still figuring out how to give staff, and I'm put a focus on staff here because it's easy for organizations to come out and say we advocate for this, but they'd not advocate for it behind closed doors. So yeah, it's a global problem. I rambled, but I hope I got my point across.
No, you did. I also like, I find as soon as I started posting nudes or sexual content or make it known that I was on OnlyFans, I got challenged so much. And I was like, why are people even on my Instagram? Like, I've never been casted or gotten work off my Instagram. So why is my Instagram now all of a sudden going to block me from work? And a lot of people found it necessary to let me know, beyond like family, just like randoms, to let me know, like, oh, you might be blocking work opportunities, or people might not want to work with you or align with you because of the type of stuff that you're putting out there, or aren't you afraid that you're not going to get casted as an actor because, you know, people see that you do sex work or you like are nude all the time. And I was like, then you're already filtering that type of work for me. Like, I don't want to work with you if that's what you're thinking about me while I'm in the space. And if you judging me already, then like, don't hire me. Like, then we're clearly not the people to work together.
Exactly.
I find it whack that like people on social media and seeing how like it's needed and that positive representation is needed will come and shame so quickly and challenge. And that's the very thing that they'll use against you. It's weird.
You know what? You touched on something so important there. Even Jesus. I mean, I walked away from Jesus, but we still talk now and again. Even Jesus said, my good friend Jesus said, I'm going to paraphrase because I didn't memorize the Bible, but they said something like, if your right eye casts you into sin, gouge it out. So the basically how I interpreted that is that you're looking at my nudes and it's making you uncomfortable. It's not making me uncomfortable. And also, you're up in my profile. Gouge out that right eye of yours, babes, or deactivate your Instagram account, or even better, block me, because you don't have to be on my page and then feel the need to come into my DMs and message request me for bullshit. You know what I mean? The way you see me is not the way I see myself. Bye bye. Mm-hmm.
Snaps. Okay, talking about DMs, to like wrap this up, are your DMs open for people to like ask for advice, and where can people get hold of you, and where can people find your book and just reach out and for Sunday sex service?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram. Instagram is like, I don't know if I'm old now, I'm pushing 30, so Instagram is like the place where I'm at. I haven't even opened a TikTok account, so you know, maybe I'll get there. But you can find my Instagram at Blazing Non-Binary. My DMs are open. It will go through to message requests, but I respond to most people. Unless, you know, you send me stuff like, you're so beautiful, are you single? Like, you know, no. But a lot of people come through my message request asking, you know, for certain things or suggesting things for Sunday sex service. So definitely find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. I'm very easy to find. Like, everything is public. Like, I'm not hard to find. I don't hide from the public. So you can even just search my name. Find me wherever. You'll find me. I promise you. There's always a way. As they say in Afrikaans.
Blazing Non-Binary. Kim, thank you so much for being a part of Open Wide Say and for just being an educator on everything sex. I love you.
Can I? Thank you. I love you too. Can I just say, Open Wide Say So fun. Open Wide Say I'm gonna do this tonight with my clit sucker. Open Wide Say
I'll do it with my Kegel balls. Open Wide Say I'm gonna make every guest close off by saying Open Wide Say
Open Wide Say
Thank you, Kim.
Yes, sir.
Open wide. Say.